This past week, Democratic House members Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib experienced something, well, many of us do. This time of year, we plan to travel somewhere, and those plans suddenly get changed. In this case, Omar and Tlaib had planned to travel to Israel, and Israel responded through one of their laws with the message, stay home. Supporters of Omar and Tlaib, along with the news media, have claimed that this action will severely damage U.S.-Israel relations. Others of their supporters have claimed that this is proof that Israel has instituted a, quote, Muslim ban. Here to examine all of this is the executive editor of the Media Line, Michael Friedson. Thanks for being here today, sir.
Pleasure to be with you.
TheMediaLine.org, where you can read Michael's work and the other journalists who, strangely enough, actually report facts and the truth and the realities and teach you things about some
that's
of the
prob- That's probably the biggest surprise in the region.
Well, it's not too much different here in the States either, I got to tell you. But be that as it may, just for the foundation, for the listeners, what is the law that this decision to ban the appearance in Israel by Omar and Tlaib, what's the law detail and provide Israel the right to do?
Well, there's a thing called BDS, which is boycott, divestment, and sanctions, meaning against Israel. It was founded, an actual movement was founded by a number of Palestinians in Ramallah trying to take the South African experience, considering that the most successful public and worldwide effort against the regime, they decided to apply it to Israel. That has caused tremendous acrimony in different ways. They try to cajole entertainers not to go to Israel, educational seminars not to happen in Israel, professional associations not to happen with Israel. Now, there's an ongoing debate about just how insidious it is to Israel and what it really impacts on Israel. But nevertheless, in the current administration, headed by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, a law was passed that actually gave the government, through the Interior Ministry, which controls people coming in and out of the country, they gave the right to the Interior Ministry to say no to entering the country if the person in question publicly associated themselves with the BDS movement. And sounds pretty draconian, and there was a tremendous debate that continues on the democracy aspects of such a law. But it's on the books. It's been tested through the courts. Imagine for a moment if President Trump had in his pocket a weapon that he could simply tell one of the departments in America, close the gates to these people because they don't speak kindly of Israel, of America. Now, it's not just not speaking kindly. It's a very acrimonious, very vicious debate that goes on. But nevertheless, President Trump did weigh in on this, and when he heard that Prime Minister Netanyahu was going to bite the bullet and let these two legislators who have made it part of their agenda to be extremely critical of Israel, that he was going to let them in the country, he weighed in and said, are you crazy? You don't do that. You know, you're fighting a fight. You have the ammunition. You do it, and you would look weak if you didn't. And anything that the President of the United States says to a sitting Prime Minister of Israel is taken very, very seriously. So the result was a reversal of an earlier statement saying that they would allow the two legislators in, and instead they said, just about a day ago, said, no, we're closing the border, they can't come in. Now, that too has changed because one of the two legislators was born here, has family in a village near Ramallah, which is about 15 minutes from where I'm sitting right now, and the law also allows a humanitarian waiver, and they sort of let the Americans know that if it did come to keeping them out, they would look favorably on the waiver, and that one of the two would therefore be able to come in. And now Tlaib is the one we're talking about. She's accepted the Israeli deal to come in, but on the condition that she doesn't do any anti-Israel trashing, that she's not part of any association with BDS people, and she's going to kind of really tightly toe the mark. And that's where it went, up and down for really a couple of weeks in the making, and then back and forth in within 24 hours, and it doesn't look like it's going to change again, but it's certainly not over.
Talking with Michael Friedson, who is the executive editor of the Media Line. TheMediaLine.org is their website. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. I was actually torn with this, Michael, because at the start I thought, well, why not let them in and on a stage that will be solely theirs, because there was a U.S. congressional delegation who came to Israel, members of both parties, just short of a month ago, and they could have just as easily been a part of that and been a part of the larger group, but apparently these two want to stand out. And I thought, well, why not let them stand out and show themselves to be the anti-Israel Jew haters that they are? But then when I saw some of the things they were planning, their itinerary, for example, that I have a copy here, the title of their itinerary is U.S. Congressional Delegation to Palestine. Then part of their plan apparently was to visit the Temple Mount, but they were going to bring Palestinian leaders with them, which that would not have ended very well, would it?
Well, there are a lot of things in that itinerary that would not have ended very well. And you have to remember that this is being played out against the ongoing week after week after week riots on the border between Gaza and Israel. And virtually any or every demonstration that begins as a simple show of civil disobedience has ended in violence and blood in the streets. So Israel has a responsibility to protect the people, too, and any governing force, whether you want to go into the debate over occupation or not, the fact remains that if a government has the ability to go into something knowing that it's going to result in bloodshed or not, the prudent way and the proper way is to not. So it's, you bring up a really good point, because what a lot of the critics of these two legislators kept suggesting was that the first one, which you said, every summer there are junkets and freshmen come on those junkets. Steny Hoyer leads the Democrats, and whoever heads the Republicans brings that group. And just this week, between the two groups, there were 72 American congressmen and women in Israel, which is a tremendous number. These two could have gone on that as well. It was their purpose to come and show that they're not going to Israel. You very well pointed out the use of the title of the itinerary going to Palestine. It didn't say Palestine and Israel. It didn't say Israel and Palestine. It said specifically they're going to Palestine. And that in itself is a provocation, and that in itself is very strong code language to the Israelis that we got a problem on our hands, and we are going to enact this legislation that allows us to keep them out.
Within Israel, among the other elected leaders and the people of Israel, did any of them in part maybe want an opportunity to confront Omar and Tlaib, to maybe either educate them, hear them out?
We hear that tremendously. Every day we hear more invitations, actually, formal invitations for them to come under different auspices. They've been told, you don't have to come as a politician. You can come as a person. You can come with a group you'd be more comfortable with, suggesting ways that they could make a trip to Israel and the Palestinian areas without sacrificing their principles or causing a big brouhaha. But the more that these ideas kept surfacing and were dealt with in the public realm, it just kept coming back to the fact that the confrontation was part of the whole game. And it just got, from what we've gleaned from interviewing a lot of the government people, even the ones in the government who had no problem with them coming, who said, this is democracy, they want to trash us, they can trash us. It was the potential for violence in the end that made them feel that they really couldn't do it. I put an asterisk there because the final word, I do believe, my personal read of this, is that the final reason that the invitation was withdrawn was the pressure from President Trump himself.
It's also interesting to see here in the States, too, how many of the Jewish Democrats and Jewish voters are, to a surprising number, siding with Omar and Tlaib. They see this as unfair treatment, and even in some way, shape, or form, calling it Israel's version of a Muslim ban.
Absolutely. Well, the Muslim ban is a little difficult to stick with when you don't have you have an incident where there are two people out of thousands who are coming in and out every day. That's kind of melodramatic. But yeah, that's what sells newspapers, so expect to see a lot more of it.
And if you want to expect to see a lot of the truth and the fact and reality of what's going on in Israel and the Middle East as a whole, that's why you need themedialine.org. That is the website for the Media Line. We've been joined by their executive director, Michael Friedson. Michael, thanks for the insight this morning for being here.
Always a pleasure. Look forward to next time.